Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbana says the Gemara Tana Rabbana in Loichem Behema B'Mas Ma'aseh Sheni. We cannot buy an animal with Ma'aseh Sheni money, as Rashi explains. The Torah tells us that if somebody has Ma'aseh Sheni produce, he could redeem it with money. The Torah says, "V'tzarta kesa biyodecha." You have to take money that's minted, coins that are minted, and you could use it to redeem Ma'aseh Sheni. However, says our Braisa, you can't then take those coins and buy animals with those coins. And Rashi explains the reason being. First, Rashi says, because the Torah says you can only buy money with Ma'aseh Sheni produce. You can't buy animals with the money that you receive from Ma'aseh Sheni produce. And then Rashi says, we don't want you to buy animals, because animals, if you're going to have to schlep them from wherever you live to Yerushalayim, will get weakened tairach haderach by schlepping them. And the obvious question that the Mefarshim ask is, if Rashi starts that midaraisa, the Torah prohibits us to use the Ma'aseh Sheni money, why does Rashi add another pshat of a tairach haderach? So the Pnei Yeshua answers, because the prohibition that the Torah says that you can't buy an animal is only an animal that's a balmum. But if the animal is not a balmum, so you can use that actual animal as a carbon, the pasuk doesn't speak to that situation. So that's why Rashi has to add mepnei tairach haderach. But then Tosfos quotes the Gemara Masechta Sukkah that gives a different reason. If I'm going to buy an animal with the Ma'aseh Sheni money, and I'm not going to immediately take it up to Yerushalayim, there is a concern that that animal will have children, and all of those children are in the status in the category of Ma'aseh Sheni. They have to be treated as Ma'aseh Sheni, and there's a concern that I'm not going to treat it that way. I'm not going to ultimately take them all up to Yerushalayim. Why doesn't Rashi quote that pshat? It's a Gemara Masechta Sukkah. So I saw a number of answers. One answer some Rishonim say is that the Gemara's concern of Adorim Adorim is only when I'm buying a number of animals with Ma'aseh Sheni funds. If I'm buying only one animal, there's really no concern that that one animal will multiply to such a great extent. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is that concern of Adorim Adorim only represents the opinion of one Tana, and Rashi wanted to give opinions that everybody agrees to. And again, a third pshat, that we're only concerned about Adorim Adorim by a Balmum, because I'm not going to take the animal up to Yerushalayim, because I anyway can't bring it to the Mizbeach. But our Gemara is talking about a Tumim, an animal that I can't take up. It's not a Balmum, and therefore Rashi's not concerned that I'm going to leave it at home. I'm going to take it up, and therefore the concern about Adorim Adorim doesn't exist. Vim Lokach, but if somebody did the wrong thing and used the money to buy an animal, the halacha is that the sale is void. If it was done b'shoigig, a person wasn't aware that this is the halacha, the sale is void. Why? It's a mekach tos. I wasn't aware that I'm not supposed to use the money to buy an animal. B'mezit, if it was done intentionally, I knew this thing, the halacha is tala v'toichel b'mokim. I should take the animal up to Yerushalayim and use it there. Om Rav Yehuda, however, comments Rav Yehuda, I shouldn't have, but I did use this money to buy an animal with the intention to use it as a shem shlamim. So there, but the evid, I should take up the animal. I didn't intend to take this animal and use it in Yerushalayim for carbon. I intended to use it at home. There, being shagged by mezit makes a difference if it was intentional or unintentional. The halacha is yachz dam l'mekaymam, the sale is void. And as the Mefarshim explained, certainly it was b'shagig, it's a mekach tas. I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to do it. But even by mezit, Chazal have the ability to void the sale, either because it's a knas, or because hefker, bezdin hefker, Chazal always have the right to void a sale. Ask the Gemara of Anantanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda, who is of the opinion, as we have been learning, that Ma'aseh Sheni is considered mum and hedyet, the halacha is, the mezit kidesh, that if somebody used Ma'aseh Sheni money, to be Makadosh a woman, the Kedushin's a valid Kedushin. Because we are not concerned that the woman who's receiving the Maisa Sheni money is not going to take it up to Yerushalayim as she's supposed to. Answers the Gemara. Om Reb Elezer. Our Mishnah's situation is, regarding an Isha, Yodas, She'ein Maos Maisa Sheni, Mischalam Al Yodai, we're referring to a woman that is aware that if she receives Maisa Sheni funds, she has to take those funds up to Yerushalayim. She can't just use them at home. And that's why we're not concerned. Maskla Rav Yirmiya, ask Rav Yirmiya, Tameyim. Dawach is a non-kosher animal. Avodim, Kakos. The Adam Yadesh Ein Mos Maisa Sheni Mischalam Layim. Everyone knows that you're not supposed to use Maisa Sheni funds to buy these types of objects. V'tanan. Yet the Mishnah says in Masechta Maisa Sheni, Ein Loichem Behema Tameya. Avodim V'kakos B'mos Maisa Sheni. You're not supposed to use these, you're not supposed to use Maisa Sheni funds to buy these items. Afil B'Yushalayim, even Yushalayim. But Da'aloch is V'mlokach Yoichel Kenegdon. You can't just say the sale stands. We say that the person who spent the money should, that means if I had my Sheni funds and I used it to buy something I'm not supposed to buy, the din is I have to take that amount of money out of my pocket and treat it as my Sheni money. Let's try to understand what I'm saying. That I have to, let's say I bought a behemoth tamea. Mishnah discusses the behemoth tamea. I bought with a Maisa Sheni money, behemoth tamea. I spent $100. Now the Mishnah teaches us I have to separate out another $100 and treat it like Maisa Sheni. Because the concern is that I don't realize that maybe I did the wrong thing. So why in our Mishnah, if somebody used Maisa Sheni money to be Mekadosh and Isha, we don't have the same din? Answers the Gemara. Our Mishnah is referring to a woman who's knowledgeable of the law, the Yadas, and she knows that she receives Maisa Sheni funds, she has to use them in Yerushalayim. Our Mishnah is not referring to that type of situation. Ask the Gemara, Omamar. So the Gemara asks, we seemingly have a contradiction. We have two different Piskei Halacha that the Mishnayos suggest when somebody inappropriately used Maisa Sheni funds. One Mishnah says, Imlokach, Yoichel Kenegdon. That if I use my Sheni funds inappropriately, as we just said a moment ago, I have to separate out of my pocket my Sheni, that much my Sheni funds to use in Yerushalayim. And in the Mishnah that we quoted on top of the Amid, the Mishnah says the din is that the deal is void. Vamai, Yachsu Damon Kaimam. Why don't we say like in the top of the Mishnah, Kiyosam, like we said at the top of the Amid, that if I use my Sheni funds inappropriately, the deal is voided. Amishmul, says Shmuel, Kishabarach. Shmuel makes a very simple difference. He says as follows. In a case where I use my Sheni funds inappropriately, and I bought from you something that I shouldn't have, there the din is, the deal is voided. You get back the item, I get back the money. But in a case where you're not here, and as the Rishonim explained, it's not that you necessarily ran away because you want to get away. You're just not here, so I can't go back to you and say, give me back the money and I'll give you back the item. There, Chazal say, we are concerned that you may not recognize that the money you're holding is Maisa Sheni money that comes with the restrictions that Maisa Sheni money comes with, that you have to use it strictly in Yerushalayim. So I have to take out of my pocket that much money to spend in Yerushalayim. The Rishonim discuss, what does it mean, Shabarach? Does it mean that you're not here? Or does it mean that you're not here and the money's not here? Let's say you're not here, but the money is here. Can we void the sale? Or is it, if you're not here, it's as if I can't void the sale because I only know you. Why can I, ask Tosfos, take money out of my pocket? In other words, what's happening here is, you're sitting with Maisa Sheni funds that we're concerned you're not going to recognize have to be spent in Yerushalayim. So that's why I have to take out that much money and spend in Yerushalayim. How could I take out Maisa Sheni funds on behalf of you without your knowledge, asked Tosfos? So one pshat Tosfos says, that's a knas, because I shouldn't have ever entered into such a deal. So Chazal penalized me that I have to take out that much money and spend in Yerushalayim. which means as follows. It's not that the money you're holding is not Maaseh Sheni money. It is Maaseh Sheni money. Chazal penalized that not only you have to spend that money, Yerushalayim, but even I, who entered into this transaction, which I should have not have to also spend that much money, Yerushalayim. That's one approach Tosfos takes. Another approach Tosfos takes is that I'm really doing you a favor. Because you have Maaseh Sheni funds, but you may not be aware that they're Maaseh Sheni funds, and therefore won't treat them properly. So Chazal went and told me, spend the money, that I should do a schus for you, zochel adam shlebefanav, and treat the money as my sasheni funds to prevent you from doing the wrong thing. Says the Gemara, tam ad baruch. So what is the case here? I bought from you something which I shouldn't have with my sasheni funds. You're not here. That's where the halacha is, that I can't we can't nullify the sale. You're not here to void the sale with. And that's why I have to take money out of my pocket to treat. Holoi barach, had you been here, consider le meicher. Then we tell you that the deal is off. You give me back the money, and the deal is off. Ask the Gemara, why are we punishing you? Why not niknas el lekeach? Why not I, who spent the money improperly, should be penalized? Says the Gemara, lav achbur ganav el chur ganav. Every time when we have this is a famous marshal the Gemara uses. When you have a mouse stealing food, he can't steal food if he doesn't have where to put it. So I, the lekeach, can't spend the Maaseh Sheni money inappropriately if I don't have you to sell me something that you shouldn't have. And that's why you deserve to be punished. Ask the Gemara, v'ilai achbara chur mai kavit. Fine, and even if you have a place to put it, but if I'm not going to take the wrong thing, then it doesn't make a difference. So we were up to is as follows. This is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. There's reason to suggest that the Moichah should be penalized, because if he wouldn't sell me the wrong thing, I could have never done the wrong thing. There's reason to suggest that the Lekeach should be penalized. Why did you go use the funds for inappropriate transaction? So now we have a dilemma. Who should we penalize? So says the Gemara, whenever we have such a dilemma, the one that's holding on to the item that he shouldn't be holding, he's the one we're going to punish. And therefore, the one that sold something that he shouldn't have sold for Maaseh Sheni funds, so now he's the one that's holding on to the Maaseh Sheni funds, even though he's only 50% of the problem, he's the one the Chazal choose to punish. And actually, the Mefarshim say that this Gemara is the basis of teaching us that one may not participate in any way, in something, in any business transaction that's shady. That means if somebody comes to approach me and wants to sell me something that I have reason to believe is a stolen item, so I can't take the approach, I didn't do anything wrong. If I have reason to believe it's a stolen item, I'm not allowed to buy it. That's this Gemara, that the Moicha and the Lekeach are both held guilty. In fact, I saw interesting Shaila, that let's say someone brings a key to a locksmith, make a copy, and I see the locksmith making an extra copy. Why are you making an extra copy? So I can't say, listen, it's not my business. Maybe he has an improper intention, and I have to deal with it. I can't ignore it. Says the Mishnah, Hamakadosh Barla. As soon as Makadosh a woman with Arla, we know fruit the first 3 years, we're not allowed to eat, it's considered Arla, and therefore the Mishnah is going to teach us that it's not a valid Kedusha. The Shailos Tshuvos Oinig Yontov explains that since Arla is Osa B'Hanoah, so if it's Osa B'Hanoah, as we're going to see in the Gemara soon, the source that teaches that, it's not considered that it has any value. And since it's not considered that it has any value, it cannot be used to affect the Kedushin. But the Mishnah Melech takes a very different approach, which has a halachic ramification. He says, it could be the way that we look at Arla is that the din is that the husband has to give the wife something of value. And Arla may not have any value either to the giver or to the taker. What is the nafkamina? So it says the Mishnah Melech, a very interesting din. Arla is osa b'hanoah. But let's say you have a person who's very sick and there's no other fruit available to that person. They're allowed to eat Arla. So if the man is very sick, so to him, Arla may have value. Or if the woman is very sick, the oil may have value. According to the Mishnah Melech, under those circumstances, maybe you could be Mekadosh with oil. The Mefarshim also point out, there's a difference between something which is Osa B'Achila versus something that's Osa B'Hanoah. Something that's Osa B'Achila you should not use to affect the Kedushin, but with the evidence if it was used, if since it's only Osa B'Achila, not Osa B'Hanoah, it'll be a valid Kedushin with the evidence. Something that's Osa B'Hanoah, especially if we take the Oinig Yontiv's approach, it has no value, and therefore it's not even with the evidence of Kedushin. Ask Tosfos. The halach is, as we said, you're not allowed to have hanor from orla. But the din is, if you benefit from orla, shaloi kederach hanosoi, not in the normal fashion of having hanor, it's mutter. So ask Tosfos, why is the Mishnah making a hard and fast rule that you can't be mekadosh with orla? It has no value. It does have value. It could be used shaloi kederach hanosoi. So there are many answers given to this question. One answer is that we're talking about a prut of worth of orla, Taisa says. And it's only worth a prut if you use it in a normal fashion. When it's going to be used in a non-normal fashion, it's not even worth that prut. That's what the case of the Mishnah is. Another answer Taisa gives is that this woman's receiving the fruit. She thinks she could eat the fruit in a normal manner. She never was willing to accept the fruit that she could only use it in Shalaika Darach Hanasa in a not normal manner. So it's a whole mekach tos. She received it under the wrong pretenses. Another teretz is that even shloi kederach hanosoi, that you're allowed to have anor from orla, is not that it's always mutter. It's only mutter for a person who's sick. He needs it. But stam, that should say that orla becomes completely permitted, shloi kederach hanosoi, is not true. Another teretz, say two more teretzim. Another teretz is that this that we say shloik derech hanosai is mutter. It's only mutter b'diavad, not l'chatchila. And a fifth teretz, the Ritva says, is let's say the woman that's receiving the orla could use a shloik derech hanosai, but orla has no market value because you can't sell it, even though it's permitted shloik derech hanosai. For something to be considered a shava pruta, it has to be something that the woman could sell further and receive a pruta for. Since this may not be sold, even though you're allowed to use it shloika derech hanosai, it's not considered you umakadishar with a shava pruta. Ask Taisus another question to Rishonim ask. The halach is that orla should be burnt, and the ash of the orla may be used, the afer. So why is the Mishnah saying that orla can't be used? You could use the ash. So again, one answer is, like we said before, that by the time you burn it, there won't be a shava pruta. Another teretz is, that when is orla that becomes burnt mutter? When it's already ash. Here we're not talking that it's ash. Here it's still a fruit. So we can't say that it could be turned into ash, and then it could be used. Right now, we're talking about fruit, not ash. Bekalai kerem, if you mix together kloyim, it's osur. Bishar haniskel, a shor that has to be killed. If it killed a person, begla rufa, if we know we found a corpse, and we don't know la yudami huko, who killed him, we have to go through the egla rufa process, bitzipayr mitzayra, we'll discuss this much more in tomorrow's shir, the birds that are brought part of the mitzayra's purification, sar nazir, the nazirs here that have to be cut and burnt, petach amar, the firstborn donkey, either should be redeemed for seh, or is killed, bas b'cholov, is also b'hano, chulin shenishchetu b'azara, are also b'hano, enim kadeshes. However, machron v'kiddush b'demeim, if you sold one of these items, and this we'll talk about in two dafim, and you have money, the isser is not that strong that the money becomes osser, and the money that was used to purchase these items, even though you shouldn't have, can be used to make a kedushin. Ask the Gemara b'orla manola, from where do we know that orla is osser b'hano? The Tanya, Arelim lo ya'oichel. Enli el isachilo. That you're not allowed to eat orla. Hanor minayim. How do we know you're not allowed to benefit from hanor? From orla? Shlo yenim imnenu. V'lo yitzba ba. V'lo yadvik ba. And as Tosfos explains, lo yehena means that you're not allowed to have any benefit. Lo yitzba means that you're not allowed to use it to dye, to color. Since the halach is chazusa lesbe mashasha, coloring is not really considered something substantive. Maybe it would be mutter. V'lo yadlik bo sanero, I can't use it to make a fire. Because I would think that using it for fire, since it gets completely consumed, should be mutter. Tam loima, Faralta Maroso Larabas Kulag, any benefit is prohibited. Bikalai Kerem, how do we know Kalai Kerem are Osbahano, Manolon, Omachiski Omakra, Pen Tigdash, Pen Tukeresh, they must be burnt. Ravashi Omar, Pen Yia Kaidush. That it's considered Kaidush. Ask the Gemara if we're going to say Kalai Kerem is in the category of Kaidush. Ima Kaidush Taifis is Domov. We know that Halacha is that if I redeem Kaidush, the money gets the status of Kaidush. V'yoytzel chulin. So I would say the same thing. Af Kalai Kerem, if somebody sells the Kalai Kerem, Taifis is Domov v'yoytzel chulin, the Kalai Kerem become mutter, and the money becomes Osir, which is not true. El Machvat Kedekechiskiyo, how do we know that Kalai Kerem is Osir? No, Pen Tigdash, we learn like Chiskiyo explained, Pen Tuket Eish, they have to be burnt. Shara Niskel Menayim. How do we know that Shara Niskel one may not benefit from? The Tanya. Master Shinem Sokol Yisokol Ashar. The Torah says that if an animal has to be, does damage, it should be killed. Any Yedeish Nevela he. So obviously if it's stoned, it's a Nevela. And Aloch is the Nevela Osa Bachilo. That you may not eat a Nevela. Matam Aloim, so why does the Torah specify Lo Yeochles Besoroi that you may not eat the Nevela? Magadloch, to teach us, the Shar was condemned to death. And before it was actually taken out for stoning, somebody shechted it, you may not eat it. How do we know that Bahanoah Minayin, that the same thing applies to Hanoah, that you're not allowed to have Hanoah from a Shar Niskel that you shechted before it was stoned? Tamaloyman, the Pasuk says, or Bala Sharnaki. Ask the Gemara, my mashma, how do we see the Issa Hanoah from the words Bala Shah Naki? Shim ben Zayma Oimer, Ka'odam Sh'oim L'chaveroi, like somebody says to his friend, Yotze Plani Nechasov, Plani Nakim Nechasov, the snare was cleaned out, Vein Le Bahanoah Shaklum has no benefit. Not a lot of benefit from him. Ask the Gemara, Memai Dehai Lo Yoichel, Es Besoroi, who asked the Gemara teaches us that the Pasuk is come to teach us that if you sechted the shor after it was condemned to death, also that's what that you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. Dilma, perhaps if you shechted it after it was condemned to death, the din would be shari, you're allowed to benefit from it. Aye, what does the Pasuk of Hai Lo Yoichel come to teach us? Hech the Sakli Midasek Miskelhu. We actually stoned it. And the Pasuk is coming to teach us, as Ravua teaches us, Kudra Ravua, Amr Belazar, Domer Ravua, Amr Belazar, Kam Makam Shinem Lo Yoichel, Lo Yoichel, Lo Yoichel, wherever the Torah uses one of these words, is to come to teach us, the Echad Esachilo, the Echad Isahano, that not only are you prohibited to eat it, you also may not have any benefit from it. That's what Lo Yoichel comes to teach us. Actually, Yifrit L'cha Kosov, unless the Torah teaches us that it's permitted in benefit, Kederet Shapirat L'cha B'Nevela, like the Torah teaches us B'Nevela. In other words, what the Gemara is suggesting is that the Pasuk of Lo Yoichel is not speaking about a Shor Aniskel that was condemned to death, and before it was actually stoned, you went and shechted it. That's not the subject of the Pasuk. The subject of the Pasuk is that you're not allowed about the shah that was actually stoned. But how do I know that? Certainly you're not allowed to eat it because it was stoned, it's in the vela. But how do I know you're not allowed to benefit? That's what Lo Yoichel is coming to teach us. Where do we have a precedent that the word Lo Yoichel means that you're not allowed to benefit? Says the Gemara, you have a precedent by nevela. The Torah says, Lo Yoichel kol nevela. You're not allowed to eat nevela. However, it says, you give it to the dog or to the ger. So we see that Lo Yoichel means Issa Hanoah, unless the Torah tells us Hanoah is mutter. But who tells us that this pasuk is referring to a condemned shor? Answers the Gemara. That can't be shot in this pasuk. Why? Because Hani Mila Heichad Nafkalon Issa Achilam Lo Yoichel. If I need the words Lo Yoichel to teach us that you're not allowed to eat it, so says Ravua that in the words Lo Yoichel are not only included an Issa Achila, but in the words Lo Yoichel are also included an Issa Hanoah. That's Rav Avuah's limud. However, Hacha, Yisrachil Mesokel Yisokel Nafka, that you're not allowed to eat this shor that was stoned. I don't need the words Lo Yoichel to teach me that. It's a nevela. A nevela you're not allowed to eat. Only what do I need to learn? Yisrachil Hanoah. This, the Yisrachil Datach, If the entire purpose the pasuk is coming to teach us is issa hano, so why does the Torah say it as lo yachol? Nichtav kro lo yehena. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is, when do I say that the issa hano is included in the words of lo yachol? When I need to learn the issa achila. But if I don't need a pasuk to teach me an issa and the achila, so I won't use the word achila to teach me an issa hano. Inami, lo yachol, es pesora, lomali. What I need the words lo yachol es pesora to teach us? Afgav the shach came basur, that even though I shachted it, to teach us it's asur. Maskev lo mazutra. So in other words, we've already proven that the pasuk is not speaking about a case where we stoned the shor, because otherwise the word lo yachol doesn't make sense. Ask the Gemara. Let's just explain the Gemara's question. Midaraisa, we don't have to do shechita with a knife. We could do shechita with anything that's sharp and smooth. So the Gemara is suggesting, this is what Rishonim explained the Gemara, that when is the Torah teaching us that if I shechted the condemned shor, it's osabachila, osabando, when I shechted it with a stone, when I took a stone, made sure it was sharp and smooth, and I used it for shechita, the mechsi skila. That type of shechita looks like skila, because I used the stone. So the Gemara is suggesting that even if I'm going to say that the pasuk is speaking regarding a situation where I shechted a shor haniskel before it was actually stone, maybe it's only referring to a situation where I shechted it with a stone, which is similar to skila, not when I shechted it with a knife, which is dissimilar to skila. Answers the Gemara, midas sakim beraisiksiv. The Torah, when it speaks about shechita, doesn't differentiate between shechting with a knife and shechting with a stone. Voitanya, and the Braisa says the same. Because shechten, bein mitzor, you could use a stone, zchuchas, you could use sharp glass, bein mikrum shalkana, with a weed. Read. In other words, what the Gemara is saying, to have a havamina, to differentiate between shechita with a stone versus shechita with a knife, doesn't make any sense. So ask the Gemara, the hashta nafgalon. So now we're saying that the pasuk of lo yoichel is coming to teach us that if you went and you shechted a condemned shor, you went and you shechted a condemned shor before it was actually stoned, it's osbachil osbahano. So we come back to a pasuk that the Gemara quoted earlier. Hi, Balashon Noki Lemayasa. What does the pasuk Balashon Noki come to teach us? It comes to teach us La'nos Oiroi. That not only may you not have a gnaw from the actual animal, you can't even have a gnaw from the hide. Because Sakadatach Amino Lo Yechlus Psoroik Siv. Besor also, I would think perhaps only the flesh is also, the meat is also. However, oirimutter, that's why the Torah has to add the words balashon noki to teach us that you can't even have ano from the hide. Ask the Gemara lahanach tanoi, the mafgalei lahai balashon noki lechatzi koifer. Ask the Gemara, there are tanom and mesechta b'bekama that use this pasuk balashon noki for different halachas. One is lechatzi koifer. We know that halacha. I'm soon going to learn mitzshem mesechta b'bekama. That the halacha is that if a mu'ud is mazik, he pays nezik sholim. If a tam is mazik, pays chatzi nezik. If a mu'ud kills a person, the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim teaches us that the owner of the mu'ud has to pay kaifer. So I would think that if a tam kills a person, he has to pay chatzi kaifer. Teaches us the pasuk, according to one opinion, the Baal Ashar Noki, that there is no din of chatzi kaifer. Or uladmei vlodis. There's another opinion. The halach is that if a person is mazik, does damage to a woman who's pregnant, and it causes her fetus to abort, he has to pay the husband the value of the fetus. What happens if a shor does that? He doesn't have to pay the value of the fetus. So ask the Gemara, according to the mandom that used the pasuk of Baal Ashor Noki to teach us these dinim, Hanoros Orem and Olay, from where will he know that you're not allowed to benefit from the hide of Ashor Anisko? Says the Gemara, he learns it from the word Es, Besorei. Es HaTofel Besorei. That even what's not part of the Basar, not the Basar itself, but connected to the Basar is also awesome. Vidach, and the other man, the Omer, that uses it, that learns the din of Oiroi from Baal Ashor Noki, Es Loi Darsh. He doesn't learn the word Es. Says the Gemara, where do we see this? If you do or you don't learn the word Es? Says the Gemara, Ketanya Shimon HaMasani, Ba'amalai Namchenya HaMasani, have a Darsh Kolasin Shiva Torah. He would learn every S in the Torah. He would learn something from it. Kivin Shigil Es Hashem L'Kecha Tirah, when he came to the words, Es Hashem L'Kecha Tirah, Pirish, he separated himself. Amlai Tamidov Rebbe, Kol Es Shiva Torah, Shadarash Tamatei Aleim. You learned every S, and all of a sudden now you're stopping. Amalem, Shem Shkabalti Schar Adrisha, just like I got Schar for learning every S, Kach Kabalti Alaprisha. So I'm going to get Schar for not learning. Achabar Rekiva Velimeid, Rekiva taught us, Es Hashem Lekecha Tira, the Rabbis Tamid Chachamim. So wait a Mefarshim, there's a lot to say in this Gemara, fascinating piece of Gemara. The Mashal explains the Gemara very simple. He says, Es Hashem Lekecha Tira, was very difficult to understand. Who are we comparing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Mashal says, what was Shimon HaMetzoni's intention with explaining every S? His intention with explaining every S was to teach us Kavanah Torah, that every word of the Torah we could learn something from. But now he realized the biggest Kavanah Torah is to say that I don't know how to say Es Hashem L'Kecha Tirah, to equate anybody to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His whole life was a life of Kavanah Torah. Other Mefarshim say, a little on the same line, we say, V'haftas Hashem L'Kecha. So what we do with that S? The Gemara is concerned about Hashem L'Kecha Tirah. What about V'haftas Hashem L'Kecha? So some say, V'haftas Hashem L'Kecha, the S comes to teach us that you should love the Torah, you should love doing mitzvahs. Others say, loving a Talmud Chochem, like you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wasn't difficult for Shimon HaMetzoni to comprehend. What was difficult for Shimon HaMetzoni to comprehend was that you should have fear for a Talmud Chochem equal to the fear that you have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he stopped darshaning them. The Maril explains that what's the machloikus of Rabbi Kiva and Shimon HaMetzoni. He explains that Shimon HaMetzoni was concerned that if people will start fearing Talmid HaChachamim, it's going to lessen their fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he couldn't accept as Hashem L'Kecha Tirah the Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, felt having fear for Talmid HaChachamim only when it hints our fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Demri Emes says a very sharp revert, as Hashem L'Kecha Tirah, the Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim, that not only do regular people have to have respect for Talmid HaChachamim, the Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim, even Talmid HaChachamim have to have respect for other Talmid HaChachamim. Another pshat that the Mefarshim say is that Shimon HaMetzoni was teaching us a very important concept in Limud HaTorah. Many times, even in today's shiur perhaps, we learn Gemaras that aren't that relevant to our day-to-day. So if Shimon was teaching us Kibati Schar L'Drisha, we get Schar for learning Gemaras that even though aren't Halach L'Maisa. A Jew has to learn every piece of Gemara. But the Mefarshim now go a little deeper in trying to understand this Gemara. There's a famous Medrash, Rashi quotes it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klai Yisrael, Ma Shem Shoel Mi'imach, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu request from us? Ki im lira yisai. Only to fear him. So the Gemara says, Klai Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, O to Yira Milsa Sotra Sahi, is fearing from a Kodesh Baruch Hu such a minimal thing? Ki im lira yisai. So Moshe Rabbeinu responded, in. By me, it's a small thing. So everybody asks, so for you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yiras Hashem is easy, so what does that help us? So the Marv Hashemish answers, when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Klal Yisrael, it's not always easy to have proper Yerushimayim. How do we come to proper Yerushimayim? The Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim. If we have Kavanah Torah, Kavanah Torah is the way that we achieve Kavanah Shemayim. That was what Rekiva was saying. If we look at Shimon HaMsoni, and we look at his life, L'Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim, take fear of a person like Shimon HaMsoni, and that will bring you to Yerushalayim. And I saw a beautiful vart. Rav Gifta said this vart. He says, we know Rav Gifta went from the United States to learn in the Telza Yeshiva in Telz, in Lithuania. At the same time, Rav Avigdor Miller was also learning in that yeshiva. And Rav Avigdor Miller got married in Lithuania. And Rav Gifta said that he went to his wedding in a city in Lithuania. And the Rav of that city, his name was Rav Altshuler. Rav Altshuler, he wrote a sefer called Takanos Agunas. And he was by the wedding, he told him a vart. He says, Shimon HaMsoni didn't know how to explain the Pasuk Ves Hashem Elokecha Tira. So Gemara says, he stopped. He didn't go any further. Said Rabbi Akiva, after looking at a person like Shimon HaMsoni, let's understand Shimon HaMsoni. He spent a whole lifetime explaining every S in the Torah. And now a whole lifetime of work comes to an end. Prisha, he has to stop. Said Rabbi Akiva, when you have a person that takes Liman HaTorah so seriously, look at his attitude. He's willing to stop and give up everything he spent his life on, because that's what he thinks is Kfar Shemayim. L'Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim. That's the kind of Talmud Chacham he's supposed to have respect for. But then I saw, for Ramey Shapiro, that Ramey Shapiro says, why was it specifically Rabbi Akiva that was the one that darshined L'Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim? So he says, we know Rabbi Akiva said that before he became a Talmud Chacham, he would say, Mi yiten li Talmud Chacham, if I got a Talmud Chacham in my hands, v'nashchena k'nachash, I would tear him up. The Rambam, he says that if somebody has a bad trait, he has to go to the other direction, the other extreme. So Rabbi Akiva, who began his life with such terrible disrespect for Talmud Chachamim, had to go to the other extreme. The Rabbi's Talmud Chachamim, that he showed such great respect for Talmud Chachamim. And the Mefarshim take this a step further. They say, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kael Nekamos Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a God of revenge. The Mefarshim say, Hashem is Midas HaRachman. How do we have Nekama, revenge, together with the Midas HaRachman? So there's a Gevaldik Gevars from the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem Tov says a Moshel. He says, there was once a person who rebelled against the king. And the king's servants said he deserves a terrible punishment. So the king said, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring him to my house. I'm going to give him everything. I'm going to bring him to my palace. I'm going to treat him, give him all the splendor of the palace. So the servants asked, that's a punishment? So he says, of course it's the punishment. When he'll see how great I am, he'll see how benevolent I am, he'll see what I am all about, and then he'll recognize I'm the person who rebelled, that will be the biggest punishment. Kel Nekamos, what is the biggest punishment, the biggest revenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give to us? Is Hashem, to shower us with Midas HaRachman. Mefarshim explain, that's what we say in Zmiris Friday night, Meshoich Chazdecha Lo Yodecha, shower us with Chesed, Kel Kanav Anoikim. That's the biggest Nekama. Rabbi Akiva, who didn't have the proper respect for Talmid HaChachamim, what was the biggest einish that could be given to him? Is that he should realize how much respect, how great Talmid HaChachamim are, and how much respect that they have to have. But we'll end the shiur with a Gevaldik Gevart, where Moshe Chaim Lau, the Patriarch of Arov, said by a Hesped on Ramey Shapiro. He said, Rav Shimon HaMsoni's approach to life was Pirish, that Talmid Chacham should be separated from everybody else. Said Rabbi Akiva, that's not the right approach. The right approach is L'Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim. Talmid HaChachamim have to be involved. They have to be engaged with the rest of the world. And if a Talmid Chacham is engaged and involved with all of Klal Yisrael, that will bring him, L'Yiras Hashem, to bring to Yerushalayim.